and it shattered into pieces. And I remember the tears, I remember the grief on my mother's face. All of us have had things that have been broken in our lives. And I want to talk about that tonight, how to pick up the broken pieces. You might be surprised at that answer. But let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, had taken the women captive that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was so greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Lord, bless your word tonight. Feed us from heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. David and the men wept tears. Now, these were strong men here. These were warriors. For those men to weep until they had no more power to weep, it's quite an incredible thing. I've always began to understand that when something is broken to pieces that I cherish, tears usually follow. I don't know anyone in 2020 that hasn't had something broken to pieces in a certain capacity or not. But I want to liken this message tonight to a mirror. How many have ever put up a mirror, or you're putting up a picture frame with a picture and it slips and breaks? Am I the only one? There's something about it at that moment. When you see the glass break, when you see the glass shatter, things come into our life that sometimes they're just irritating things, you know. Other things come into our life and they cause a little bit of discomfort, but there are things that hit our life that shatter things in pieces. Oh, yeah. Most of it, the majority that I have found out, is not things, it's relationships. You see, David and his men, their wives and children, were taken away. Now, I often wondered why they wept until they had no power, because they knew the Amalekites, they were evil. I tell you, they'd kill anybody, children, men, women. They could not believe that their precious wives and family were now into the hands of one of the most demonic influences on the earth, the Amalekites. That's why way back in Joshua's day, God told them to kill the Amalekites. Well, Saul didn't kill them. But anyway, I want to look at your life as a mirror. Mirrors are great things, aren't they? When you're young, you love the mirror to see how good looking you are and youth. But as you start getting older, we kind of avoid the mirror. Amen. I really avoid it in the morning time. Amen. I look and I say, that can't be me. I want my skin to wake up a little bit. But I want to look at life as a mirror. We are here to reflect the glory of God. You know, at times we don't have all the answers yet from God. We don't have all the answers why this child died in childbirth. Why this Christian that loved God was taken away in their mid-40s. Things come in our life And I believe there's so many people that have shattered pieces all around them. Depression is a looking down. It's a something that's down. My thought is, with all the things happening in the world, people's businesses are shattered, relationships, they lost loved ones this year they never thought. There were people alive last Christmas that never made it this Christmas, young and old. And I'm just wondering if the depression and thing is people looking down at the broken pieces rather than looking for the solution. It's very easy once something is shattered. I've dropped a pitcher one time and glass went everywhere. How many have ever broken a glass in your kitchen? You got to find every little piece, and oh my, I don't like it. I don't like going through broken, shattering pieces, but I have and you have, and guess what? Everyone out there has. I don't know anyone that's lived a life that somewhere in their life something didn't drop, and like I said, most of the time it's a relationship. Things can be replaced. And so David was thinking, my wives are gone, my children are gone. And, you know, it's an incredible thing because after that, and we're going to get to this in a minute, the men said, well, we're going to stone David. You know, we're going to talk about what that means. But David's mirror got shattered. I mean, this compared to Saul trying to kill him was on another level. That was one level. But this was a level that totally stopped these mighty men, and they wept until they couldn't even weep again. That's incredible to me. You see, David's mirror was shattered. Number one, he didn't prepare for it. No one prepares for their mirror to be shattered. No one prepares. You know, we're not expecting this. They never expected the Amalekites to come. My question would have been, David, why didn't you leave 100 men there to protect the city? But, you know, being a Monday morning quarterback is very easy at times. And so David didn't prepare for his mirror to be. He didn't anticipate it. How many people in 2020, they didn't anticipate a loved one would die this year? A business would close? They didn't anticipate. I mean, it shattered their normal life into pieces. The third thing, how about this? He didn't even consider it. You know, we suffer the most when relationships are suddenly broken to pieces with no hope. After being in pastoral ministry since 82, the deep broken pieces of life have to do with relationships with others. Oh, your car can get damaged, get totaled. You can knock your favorite clock off the wall. We'll get over that. It's people. It's relationships. And I have found that all of us go through the broken mirror period of time. But I've learned this. We have a choice, and I'm going to show you what David did. Either we can spend the rest of our life looking for broken pieces, or we can do something else. To spend my life trying to figure out and find all the little pieces, why did this happen? How come? Blaming myself. People get into that rut. And 20 years after the broken mirror of their life relationship, they're still going over how I failed. And what did I didn't do right? Didn't put the nail in good enough. You see, David's mirror, like ours, we need some understanding. The Bible says David was greatly distressed. Why was he distressed? Three reasons. Number one, hope was broken in pieces. I mean, David didn't, and his men didn't instantly go, oh, hey, no problem. Get on the horses. Let's go get them. They didn't. Because, see, hope was taken away. And when hope is taken away, life simply is tough. Second thing, peace was broken in pieces. I mean, how much peace could there be when they're ready to stone David? The reason they did that is because of anger. So when there's an atmosphere of anger, there can be no peace. Third thing, courage was broken. They were, they didn't even want to go. They didn't even know if they could get him back. Their courage was broken. And I've learned this, blame is always the result of something broken. Relationship breaks, people blame each other. Especially teenagers, they get in a relationship too soon and they're saying they're in love and all that, and a year or two later they don't like each other and then they're out talking, blaming the other one, they didn't love me, whatever. But blame simply is not going to put the mirror back together. I can't blame anyone for my reactions in life. I can't blame anyone from when I was 10 years old on my perspective of life. I can't blame my disposition on an old girlfriend or boyfriend. I can't blame my mistrust of people because of a marriage that failed. I can't blame my trust in God and believers because a Christian done me wrong. You see, that is a life of looking for the broken pieces instead of doing what David did. And I'm convinced you and I are here tonight to hear this word, not only for us, but to help the people whose lives are shattered. People that are going to the store, going to Fort Lee, but their marriage is ready to go. They don't know what to do. I just saw on the news a 16-year-old guy, good-looking guy, committed suicide because he felt trapped because of being in his home for school. And I go, Lord, that I cannot believe that. He hasn't even lived life. Why was the mirror of his life shattered to the place where he became so hopeless, no one saw it? It's our job as the church, not only for us to be made whole, but to give the hope to those who ask us. The soul of all the people was grieved. Romans 14:7. None of us lived to himself and none of us died to himself. Broken relationships affect everyone in our space. Broken relationships, broken mirrors affect everyone in our space. And my space is not just my home or my church, it's my community. I'm not out in Los Angeles. God put me here. This is my space, my family, the congregation, and the city's my space. And the Bible says nobody lives to himself. In other words, what I do with my broken pieces will affect someone else. I have found out if all I do is talk about my broken pieces, I will stir up a root of bitterness. And the root of bitterness defiles many. No one in here, no one on this planet gets a free card or a free pass from this. Everyone will deal with this in their life. Has nothing to do whether God loves me. Has nothing to do whether God is keeping me. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. In this world, pitchers will fall and break. Relationships will be shattered. Dreams will be put on hold. You see, broken relationships affect everyone in our space. Now, what do we do? What could David do? I mean, he could have sat there with a man and he could have said, well, man, we could have done this, we could have done that, and try to find out what peace goes there, and we should have done this. That's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Because at the end, I haven't connected to God. I've connected to the sharp piece, and it probably will cut me and cause more pain. You know, finding our pieces, broken pieces, simply to sweep them up and bring them to the cross. I can't put it back together anyway. I've tried to put bases and stuff over the years together and the arms and put it together, and the arm is up here, now it's down here. And honey, does it look okay? Some things need to let go and let God. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, the Bible's full of examples where God put together the shattered mirrors of broken lives. Think of Naomi. How he turned her, I'm bitter. Don't call me pleasant. I'm bitter. Think about all the lives. Think about Samson, how he shattered his mirror because of Delilah. It wasn't just because of her. It was because he hadn't submitted his sexuality to God. But here he is. He can't find the pieces. There's too many. But he does come back, and God puts the mirror back as he died. And it's interesting, he didn't leave him out of Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Think about how merciful God is. You see, the Bible's full of examples. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, but I've prayed for you, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. No, Lord, I'll never deny you. And so at the third sound of the rooster, the Bible says, Peter cussed and then he wept bitterly. His mirror just got shattered. And you know what's astounding about that? Jesus acknowledged Peter more than anyone else with revelation. Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. Peter, step out on the water, Peter. Peter, you and James and John, come up to the mount. I'm going to show you my glory. Look at all that Peter was endowed with from God, but yet he hung up the mirror of his life carelessly, and it shattered at that fire. You know, God, in his foreknowledge, already knows what's going to happen to us and this world. He already knows. He set in motion grace to help in time of need. What did David do that we need to do when there are shattered relationships and pieces everywhere that could hurt even deeper? 1 Samuel 30, verse 7, we're to go to the one who made the mirror. 1 Samuel 37, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David went to the one that could change the mirror back to the will of God. It was not the will of God for the Amalekites to come and steal his family. The Amalekites speak of spiritual principalities, demonic influences. It's not the will of God that our children should suffer, that a 16-year-old should take his life. Demonic voices are all around, and the devil uses times of fear more than any time. You see, David went to the high priest there, which had the ephod, and they don't totally understand how it worked. It had stones in it. They don't know if one of them glowed when it was a yes or a no. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, he went to the one that made the mirror of his life. And you and I, at times when our mirror is broken and we're crying, and we're sad, and we're hopeless, and we don't understand why that person left or why I was rejected, I go to God and say, God, you are the one, number one, that put me here. Number two, you're the one that can get my mirror back. I can't go over all the little pieces and try to find every little reason why it didn't work. I can never put a shattered mirror back together, but you can. And this is where many believers miss it. We've got to get back on the track of pursuing God. I've pursued God with tears in the middle of the night for one of my children, one of my family. My father died. Just me and God. God, you need to put this together. I don't know why this happened. I am not going to sit here and try to sweep up all the reasons. I'm going to pursue you. Because it's in the pursuing that God begins to form that new mirror in our lives. One of the symptoms that I'm looking around and trying to find out, why was I rejected at 16? Why didn't she love me? Why didn't he love me? Why did my first ex cheat on me? Why did this happen? You see, if I spend my life doing that, then I will slowly stop pursuing God, who has the answer. Who knows why some things happen? Who knows why on that Alaskan Airlines that went down in the 80s, why two pastors who had just preached 2 weeks before at the Rock Church of Virginia Beach went down with the plane. But I found out later in the voice recorder that they heard this woman out there telling people about Jesus as they're about to hit the water. How many people went to heaven because of that? You see, their children probably couldn't understand. Mom and Dad, they love God. They're pastors. Shattered mirrors. What are we going to do with them, church? We're going to pursue God. Look at, he said, you will overtake them and you'll have full recovery. Full recovery. God doesn't leave you half recovered. God doesn't take some crazy glue and put some broken pieces together on a mirror. It ain't ever going to work. I've tried it with things. Oh, I got to pursue you, Lord. Only you can take that. What should I do, Pastor, with my pieces? You sweep them up the best you can and you lay them at the cross and walk away. You can't fix it. If you could fix it, you'd have fixed it by now. I can't fix it. I can't understand. I can comfort and pray for you, but I don't understand how everything works. Only God does. The word pursue means to be behind. It means to follow after. You see, pursuing God, it's not just running in front of God. It's following behind God. It's following the shepherd more closely and more dearly. Because in the valley of the shadow of death is where God shows up with the table before us in the presence of our enemies. Many people this year have turned to the bottle, have turned to food to medicate themselves, have turned to immorality to medicate themselves, have turned to entertainment to medicate themselves, and inside they have a broken mirror. They don't know how to fix it, but Jesus loves these people. If we're going to be the light to the city, we should not cover up what God has done for us. When you go to certain stores, there are hundreds of people with broken lives, folks. Single mom that the boyfriend promised, I'm going to be with you, and left with two children. The single man that thought that woman was the woman of his dreams till she dumped him. You see, people are going around and we're pretty good at covering up our broken pieces. people that have been sexually abused and emotionally abused and domestic violence that's covered up. Things that only bring broken lives. When a husband or wife cheats on their spouse, it breaks the heart of the other one into a million pieces. And the trust is broken and the hope is broken. And all the precious memories that were shared now seem to be in little pieces everywhere. But God, no matter if I dropped the mirror or someone dropped my mirror, God says, pursue me. Because I'm not going to leave you where you are. Because one day that mirror will be done and you'll stand again and look at the mirror of your life and you'll see how I have moved and made you into my image again. Don't ever look into a shattered mirror, shattered past or shattered hurts and try to see your image. Because if you look in a mirror that's been shattered and put back together by us, we never see ourselves again the right way. We always see ourselves as the victim, not the victor. We see ourselves as unloving instead of loving. We see ourselves through the eyes of someone else's criticism rather than through the eyes of a loving father. You see, I'm sure David would never let his wife and family be unprotected again. But David did the very thing you and I must do. We must pursue. Don't go around the kitchen floor of your life trying to find every shred of the glass of the mirror that fell. You'll cut yourself. Sweep it up the best you can. Put it at the cross and walk away. And I guarantee you, the God that resurrects will resurrect your life and my life and those out there. I'm looking to God to heal our land. Thank God for vaccine and shots and all that. That's here. But God is here. And I'm looking to God to work something through this. A returning to the reality that my life is short and I could be gone. 250,000 people were here last Christmas. They did not know it. They didn't get a letter, a telegram saying you'll be gone. So my life on this earth, I look to God. My times are in your hands, Lord. It's not in the hands of a virus. I'll be careful, I'll be cautious, but it's not in the hands of a virus. It's not in the hands of my enemies. It's not in the hands of King Saul. It's not in the hands. My life's in your hands, and no one's able to pluck you and I out of his hands. David knew that. So David said, I'm going back to my source. I'm not just going to church or a Bible study. I'm going back personally to my source. And I'm going to stop picking up those broken pieces and remembering them and talking about them because they're cutting my fingers. They're stopping my work. Sweep them up. By the Spirit of God, He's going to help me sweep them all up. Put them at the cross. There's a pastor I used to listen to, Walking the Word, James McDonald. And he, very large church, 4,000 or 5,000. He preached about forgiveness for a month. And then he had everybody write down the person they really need to forgive. And they had a big service. And they went out, he had a big hole dug, and they had this big chest up at the front. And all the 5,000, they came, and they put it in there, and they said, once you put it in there, you've forgiven, and you forget this. And they took it out and buried it out in front of the church. God, do that same thing with the broken pieces. Sweep them up. Don't bring it up again. There's always guilt with bringing up past failures. There's always an identity crisis when I examine myself as a father, as a husband, as a pastor. How about with you? We've all missed it. We've all made mistakes. We've all dropped mirrors. We've all broken glasses in the kitchen. And what I've learned, like David, it's just me and God. And I'm going to pursue God by following Jesus, my shepherd, more closely. Not way off. Not way back. But right next to him, as close as I can get. Because I don't want another broken mirror. I don't want to go. And if one does break, I want to be so in the place of grace that like Paul, I can say, or like God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, you're not where you were 10 years ago spiritually. There's more grace for you to handle this situation. Because mirrors will come and go. We will lose loved ones to age. We will see things that seem opposite of the goodness of God. But yet God in all things works together for your good. And how he takes a broken mirror and how he makes a new one, no one knows. But that's why he's God and we're not. Let God be God. If he comes to every sparrow's funeral, then he sees when the mirror falls. Don't let blame, don't let self-pity, and don't make excuses about it. David said, bring me the ephod, bring me the priest, high priest. Back then, they had a relationship with God. We don't know totally how it worked. But God said, pursue, David. Pursue. Now, you think David felt like pursuing? They had just come back from a battle. They were exhausted. In fact, 300 men didn't even go with them. They were so tired. And so they had a big thing when they got back. The men that took the spoils, they said, we're not going to give these men the spoils. They didn't go to war. And David said, those that stay by the stuff, and those that go to battle get the same. But the problem was they weren't protecting the city. Pursue. God's a healer. God's a restorer. But this word isn't just for us, is it? It's for a whole world out there. It's for those that are going to come into the Christmas play. For conversations that will start. What type of church are you? What do you do? What are you about? Are you a religious church? Are you a church that believes in restoration and salvation, miracles, signs and wonders? Are you a church that believes that Jesus has his way in your midst? Do you believe God can heal me from my divorce? Do you believe God can restore the joy of my salvation? Do you believe that God would forgive a sin like this that I did? Yes, we do believe it. If the repentance is sincere, God's made a covenant with us. He said, as far as the east is from the west, I don't remember your transgressions. He'll cast it away forever. You see, pursuing God is how we get our mirror. And as I close, the practicality of this message is all of us are in the same boat. We all face life together. No one is immune from things breaking. No one is immune. Look at the prodigal son. You don't think it shattered the father's heart? When his son said, give me my inheritance. You see, you're not supposed to get an inheritance till you're dead. So for the son to say, give me my inheritance, basically was said, you're dead to me, Dad. I don't care about you. Give me it. I don't care. You're dead to me. You don't think that father's heart at that moment was shattered? He didn't say, oh, here you go. Okay, we'll get going. No. The reason I know that, because his disposition to look every morning for his son and how he responded. Yeah. heart broken in pieces, shattered. But God said, I'm going to restore. God said, you're not going to lose. No loss. He kept looking. I guarantee, I can't prove, but I guarantee you, he kept seeking God. I guarantee you, every day, now before he started looking for his son, he looked at God. And God decided it was time. God said, listen, prodigal, you're going to come home. And I believe the Spirit of God moved and that prodigal son began to say, hey, you shouldn't be here. No one is saved without the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one that reveals Jesus and convicts us. So the Spirit of God, I believe, was just revolving, hovering over that prodigal son in the pig pen. Hey, your father's got servants in his house that live. Why don't you go back? Because if we think that anything we did to earn salvation, then it's not grace. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I sent my Spirit. You didn't just decide to get saved one day. Because if you did, that's a decision. Now, I brought you to the place where you would decide. Can you imagine the look on that father's face when he saw his son coming down that road? Because God is good. And our message at the Rock Church of Petersburg is God is good, Petersburg. Pursue it. Follow the shepherd. Follow him closer. And no matter how you're hurting tonight, today, he promises to get you a brand new mirror. But you got to do your part. Sweep up those broken pieces, put them at the cross, and walk away. Don't talk about them again. And if you're watching tonight and maybe you're going through a time of brokenness, maybe the pieces of failures and things they still stick into your hand and to your side, but that's not what God wants. God's not mad at you. God's not condemning you. God's saying, I love you. And if you will forgive and sweep those memories and put them at the cross and leave them, God will begin to restore. And as you pursue God by following Jesus, his word and his anointing, then you will see the mirror of your life like you've never seen it. If Jesus is not in your heart, just pray this with me. Just close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, that's right, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. Remember this. There's always hope. There's always peace. And there's always love with God. Let him put the mirror of your life back together like David, for you certainly will overtake and pursue what he's promised. God bless you tonight. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand up tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord.